You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist.
Morning, Adam.
Hey, morning, Ray.
I see an oil tanker on fire. Concern about an environmental disaster in the China Seas. That sounds awful.
It's been burning for 3 days, and obviously they're concerned that it could explode, but it's what happens to what it's carrying, 136,000 tons of condensate oil, so about a million barrels of this oil. It's a particular kind of oil that's especially nasty if you come across it in its current form, but also once it hits the water, it would sink into the sea and become an enormous environmental problem. That kind of size of tanker really is not built to burst into flames, but there it is, burning away. Also, 32 crew members missing. One body has been found so far. It's an Iranian tanker. The Chinese are obviously very concerned because that's where it is in the East China Sea, sort of off Shanghai, if you like, but halfway between what is essentially Taiwan and Japan. And there it sits, burning away. How do you deal with it, and how do you deal with it safely? At this stage, they haven't got an answer.
Yeah, it's a shocker, absolute shocker. Then the dating terrorists, two would-be bombers brought together by love. I mean, can there be love if you can just blow yourselves up anyway?
Yes. Well, I suppose lonely heart stories aren't meant to go that way, really, are they?
But no.
Generally speaking, but a couple met on this dating website. They've been found guilty of plotting a Christmas terrorist attack together. Weirdly, Munnar Mohammed, an asylum seeker from Sudan, found the extremist woman of his dreams, a pharmacist, Rueda Al-Hassan, and together they were building a bomb. Obviously, as a pharmacist, she had access to some interesting substances. He also had this kind of lone wolf mission notion in his head on behalf Islamic State. She'd got him two of the three components that were needed to make explosives. They'd also discussed the use of ricin poison. All this Christmas before last, they were intending to do something, or at least he was intending to do something, backed up by her. Rather extraordinary that if he was really going to go off and blow himself up, that she'd only just met him on a dating website and was supporting this notion. But still, I suppose that's love for you in the modern age, isn't it, in inverted commas. Luckily, police got them before they'd got too far, but they were certainly heading in the direction of something really nasty Christmas before last.
That's shocking. And then a Saudi princess in jail. It's all to do with an anti-corruption crackdown, I see.
Yes, the new Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, is basically staging a whole anti-corruption series of measures, all sorts of things, and also anti-elitism. So what he's trying to do is roll Saudi Arabia a bit more into the 21st century. He's very popular with the younger generation, with, as it were, normal Saudis. And part of this is this crackdown on corruption, for instance, was to get members of the royal family to pay their bills. 11 princes refused to pay their utility bills for the first time in their lives. And we all know that moment, Ray. The first time you ever get a utility bill, you go, how much for gas and electricity? Really? Are you having a joke? And I assume the 11 princes looked at their bills, and after all, they've got palaces, so their bills must have been really high and must have done exactly that. They took their protest a bit too far, and the 11 have been duly arrested by the Crown Prince, who's having none of it. And good on him, frankly.
Yeah, but Adam, I thought in Saudi Arabia there was so much money from oil, everything was just free.
I don't think it entirely works like that, does it? You get the feeling there's a lot of money sloshing around, but I suppose it's a question of where it's sloshing around. And you've got to be seen to be doing your bit. That's the point of the Crown Prince, is that you can't just have people swanning around as if they own the place, even if they do own the place.
Indeed. Now, divorce season, and I know this because January comes, couples stay together for December and for the family and for Christmas. And there's January.
Yes, it's that thing, isn't it, that you make it through Christmas and New Year, and maybe there are some doubts, and then New Year comes, and then there are some debts, and the whole thing can combine. And unfortunately, this is divorce season, divorce week in particular. Yesterday was in particular divorce day, being Monday, but on through the rest of the week, lawyers say they get the most number of divorce inquiries in the UK. And, I mean, like in South Africa, we have quite a similar divorce rate. It's something over 40% of marriages now end in divorce. The average marriage lasts around 12 years. But intriguingly, it's not like that everywhere. So maybe one of the answers to avoid this is to go to Spain, where they don't really tend to think about divorce until August, when the heat kicks in. Oh. So you could buy yourself a few months. Or how about Germany? They have a weird attitude towards romance, I would suggest, in Germany, because their peak divorce time is around Valentine's Day.
Oh, what's no. That?
I know.
That's a shocker, shocker. Well, at the moment in Gauteng, we are experiencing a heat wave, so not good for us at all. So gyms and divorces will be very big this month in Gauteng.
I can see that, yes. There again, head to Spain, yes. Where it's not so hot.
Spain it is. I'm taking my wife right now, I'm telling you. Adam Gilchrist with your worldview. Thank you very much. Chat tomorrow.